Welcome to the Andy Social Podcast. My name is Andy Dowling, and before we kick into this week's episode, a big disclaimer. I must apologize for the poor quality of this intro. I am recording this via the little microphone on my headphones for my iPhone as I cruise down the South Coast in my car. So I thought it is Monday night at the moment, and this episode goes out on Thursday, and I just do not have time to sit down and do a proper recording. Better recording anyway. So this is what it is. Hopefully TY can clean up a little bit, but please hang 10, stick around for this intro because there's a lot of interesting things that I need to touch on and some stuff that may interest you. So guys, you know who I am, but if you haven't listened to this podcast before, I do play bass in the Australian metal band Lord. If you love a bit of Maiden, Priest, Saxon, a bit of Jagdpanzer, I threw that one in there. I love Jagdpanzer. I don't even know if we sound like Jagdpanzer. I'm sure there's a few riffs that sound like them. But, you know, Queensryche, Halloween, all that kind of stuff. Even Symphony X, some newer styles of metal. You can go to lord.net.au and go and give our music a crack. We're also on Spotify. You can go and search for Lord on Spotify. Yes, if you do type in Lord, it's probably going to be really hard to find us because we picked the most amazing name in the world. So to make it easier for you, you can search Lord Prog Power USA, and that is our brand new latest release, our live album, recorded in 2016 in Atlanta, Georgia, and you can find that on Spotify, as well as our entire back catalogue is all on Spotify, so you can go and check that out. But lord.net.au is the place to start. Lots of social media links and all the hoo-ha and everything's there, so go and check it out. In addition to that, I also host the Self-Starter podcast. You can go to selfstarter.com.au if you have any interest in small business, self-employment, or freelancing, if you want a little extra coin on the side, or you want to quit your job, or you want to create your own business of some sort, you can go over there, selfstarter.com.au, or you can search for Self-Starter in your preferred podcast player as well. Now, I must mention that, and this is why there's a bit of a delay with me recording this intro for this episode as well. I just came back from the 2018 Australian Podcast Awards, and Self-Starter was a finalist. I was a finalist for Host of the Year for the Self-Starter podcast, which absolutely incredible. There were six people in the category for Host of the Year, and I was one of those named as a finalist. And unfortunately, I didn't take the crown. I was close, but no cigar. And that sucks. I was a little bit disappointed. I had a little bit of a slight welling in the eyes, a little bit of a tear welling up. But what a night. Like, what a cool night. And this is the second year that the Australian Podcast Awards have taken place. Last year was in Sydney. This year was in Melbourne. So I went down to Melbourne, took my wife Jess and my brother Mitch, who celebrated his 30th birthday over the weekend. We just had a great weekend and a really great night, and it was so cool to be amongst so many people doing amazing things in the podcast realm, and to just the level of quality and the professionalism was so high, and for me to be in the conversation was incredible, and I certainly took a lot out of the night. I've got a lot of ideas. I'm more inspired than ever, and I'm ready to kick this all up a notch. Not just Self-Starter, but this podcast, the Andy Social Podcast. I've got heaps of ideas, and I'm really, really excited to share a lot of these with you guys as the months progress. So we'll leave it at that. But a massive thank you to Dave and Anna from the Australian Podcast Awards, the guests that attended, the sponsors, Timbo Reed from the Small Business Big Marketing podcast, who hosted the event. Just a really, really cool night. So thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to the 2019 Australian Podcast Awards as well. Now, moving along. Now, last week, in the last 4 weeks, I had my very first sponsor of the Andy Social Podcast. Now, the podcast was sponsored by, designed by Jaden. Jaden Farr, he's a freelance artist based in Darwin. He does a lot of amazing artwork for bands and artists in the music industry. And I had a competition that was run over those 4 weeks where Jaden was offering a free piece of custom artwork for an album, album artwork or merchandise, or even if you're a business, maybe a logo or something, you know, for your business. Whatever it was, he was offering a free piece of artwork for a lucky winner, a lucky listener of the Andy Social Podcast. And what you had to do was you had to write a review for the Andy Social Podcast. It didn't have to be positive, although if it was, then that'd be fantastic. But, you know, I don't want to coach you into writing a positive review. But leave a review somewhere, anywhere on the internet. It could be Apple Podcasts, it could be Facebook, it could be Stitcher, it could be anywhere. on a message board, whatever, and send me a screenshot to show me that the review exists. So I know. And so I know that you want to be a part of this competition as well. So the competition ended. It ended yesterday, the 6th of May, as of time of recording this episode. And thank you so much for everyone that participated. It was just really, really cool for people to throw their hat in the ring and be a part of it. Leave some really cool reviews around the place for me. It all helps. It helps big time. It not only helps legitimize the podcast by for other people to read these amazing reviews and such kind words, but it also helps with all these crazy little algorithms on these platforms. You know, Apple Podcasts, the more reviews, the more ratings it helps. Stitcher, no doubt, helps with their algorithms. It helps with Facebook, all these different places, even on message boards and things like that. Maybe not so much the algorithms, but, you know, legitimacy, perception. Perception is key. So thank you so much for everybody that's participated. But there can be only one winner of the first ever competition, of the first ever sponsor of the Antisocial Podcast. And that winner is Ash Gray. Now, Ash lives in a place that I did not even know existed. Ash lives in a place called, now I'm going to pronounce this wrong, you guys know me, Moama. Now, Moama, from what I have been told, and Ash has educated me, is on the border of New South Wales and Victoria along the Murray River. Now, I've never been there. I don't think I've even been close to being there. But I'm intrigued. And maybe I might go out there one day because I love going out to small, you know, small towns that I've never heard of. So maybe we'll do something in the future. But Ash, thank you so much. You did this amazing review on Apple Podcasts. Very, very touching. And flattering review, much appreciated, and I'd love to be able to reward you and give you this opportunity to get some free custom artwork from Jaden. So what I'll do is I'll hook you up with Jaden and you can work together and create something for your business or maybe for one of your music projects. I know that you do a cover band locally and you've got some other things on the go. Ash is a drummer, so if anyone needs a drummer and lives in Moama. I don't know how many people from Moama listen to the podcast. Maybe Ash, you need to spread the word. But yeah, thank you so much, Ash, and thank you so much for everyone that participated. I'm looking forward to doing more of these competitions. There is more to come. And if you want to be a sponsor, I'm really keen on doing more of this. You know, it's not a big thing, but maybe you want to be a sponsor for a few episodes and, you know, plug your stuff and get your stuff out there, but maybe offer something to the listeners of the podcast. And it's just, sharing is caring, and I want to make everybody a winner. Make me a winner, make you a winner, and make the listeners winners as well. So let's work together. So if you've got any ideas, hit me up. I'd love to hear from you in the future. Now, also, I've got a shout out, and Ash is going to cop it because Ash is going to get a double whammy this week. I am giving Ash the shout out of the week this week for the Antisocial Podcast. So if you're new to the podcast, it's never normally this bias, but I usually do a shout out every week to somebody that supports this podcast. And they do it in a whole range of different ways. They send me messages, they leave reviews around the place, they buy a t-shirt, they shout me a beer via my PayPal link on andysocial.net, they tag friends, they recommend the podcast, they do all these great things. It all adds up and it helps this podcast so much. It helps me personally so much as well. So to give back just a little bit, I do a shout out to somebody each and every week. And this week, yes, it is Ash Gray, once again from Moama. And Ash, it's just timing because I was planning to do a shout out this week and it also coincided with the competition and it all just fell into place. So you got lucky, mate. So not only are you getting a free piece of custom artwork, but I'll also send you out a little goodie in the post for you. I've got a few things, I've got a few things in mind. So hit me up, shoot me a message, remind me, and I will send something out to the post, in the post to you in the near future as well. But thank you very much, and thank you, as always, to everybody that does all these cool little things. You are not being ignored. I naturally will be acknowledging you, especially if you send me a message and remind me of some of the things that you're doing, especially if it's reviews, because sometimes I don't see them, especially if you're in another part of the world, different region. So you guys may get a mention in the upcoming weeks. So please keep all that love coming, and I will return the love as quickly as I can. So thank you very much once again. Now, oh, guys, this week's... I'm getting there. This week's episode is with Dave Balfour. Now, all of my metalhead mates will know Dave very, very well. Dave Balfour has been around the traps for a hell of a long time. Dave actually put on the very first Lord gig. That was March 2006 at the Empire Hotel in Annandale, in the inner suburb of Sydney. And we had Voyager play their first ever Sydney show on that show. We had Transcending Mortality and another local Sydney band that's no longer around anymore called Rampant. So there's a bit of trivia for you. But Dave's been a part of the Sydney scene for a long time. He has his own booking agency called Metal Evolution and manages a few bands. And about 7 years ago, if I'm correct, he started the Steel Assassins Metal Festival, which is held in Sydney every November, the first weekend of November. And it is built to be this amazing metal festival for Sydney. It's something that the Sydney metalheads can rely on, and Dave has upped the ante every single year. And not only does he get a lot of acknowledgement and press across the country, and a lot of people travel interstate to come and see this festival and check out all the bands, but he's getting a lot of notice from people overseas as well. So it's really, really amazing work that he's doing. And this year we are back. We're playing our second ever appearance of the Steel Assassins Festival. We'll be headlining one of the nights. The other night will be Hobbs Angel of Death from Melbourne, the legendary thrash metal band. And so we will be headlining one of the nights there. So it'll be very, very exciting. So I'm going to kick right into this. This was a few days before Dave was traveling to Germany to go to the Keep It True Festival in Germany, funnily enough, to go and take some notes and be in his domain. Dave loves his true metal, his old school heavy metal, and this is pretty much the mecca of that sort of demographic and that genre. So we talk a lot about that. We talk about what he's done over the years building up his festival. And we just talk metal. I mean, this is where Dave shines. This is where he blooms, he blossoms. So really hope you enjoy this chat. Even if you don't know a lot about metal, I think you'll get something out of it, because Dave's really built something here. And I think the consistency and him showing up every year, despite a lot of challenges along the way, has got him to the success that he gets now. So enough of me yapping, enough of this crappy intro recording. I've actually pulled over because I'm going to go and fill up some petrol. I'll record the outro on the way home after I've filled up. But please, enough crappy bits of information, but please enjoy this episode with Dave Balfour. Dave, thanks for bringing me to your lounge room.
It's beautiful, isn't it? It's just renovated.
property prices in Sydney are pretty expensive, but it's nice that you've managed to secure the Oatley Hotel.
Well, you know, metal pays, I guess. What can I say?
Well, thanks for catching up for a beer. One moment. Ah, that's better.
It's beautiful.
Had to lubricate the mouth. That sounded really bad, but anyway, moving along. You're going to Germany in a couple of days.
Yeah, I am. Another crazy, fun-filled adventure, all in the name of heavy metal. Yes.
Keep It True Festival.
Keep It True Festival, for those who are unaware, and there's probably a lot of you out there who are, only because, well, it's a very underground, old-school, niche kind of heavy metal festival that's in Germany. It deals with a lot of 80s heavy metal bands, or 80s yep. style heavy metal bands, and a lot of reformations, bands that didn't make it. So as opposed to your giant 80,000 Viking open airs, it's more of a 5,000 to 10,000 indoor pursuits, and kind of in essence an inspiration for the festival that I started. So it was be good to be there and check it out.
And so I just what you like, you just said then there's a couple of motivations to go there. Obviously you love that old school heavy metal and sort of a lot of those old bands that sort of probably got forgotten back in the day but are getting a resurgence now. But I mean, obviously there's a bit of a strategy to go over there and see what the Big Brother looks like compared to Steel Assassins.
Yeah, that's a huge motivational point. Germany's a different world to what we have here, and my festival is by no means a copycat or a Keep It True wannabe. It's its own that's its own agenda, and it's its own beast. But Keep It True is just an example of a couple of festivals that kind of flicked the switch for me into starting this. Not 100% the same, like I said, the same format, but kind of observing some of these festivals like Keep It True and how they're doing is what I wanted to do here, at least start something on a smaller level, and going over there and hopefully being able to talk to a few of the people that run it and the bands and everything that I plan on harassing all these people and just watching it work, which is going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
So
I think one thing with Steel Assassins, I mean, I remember you sort of working on the concept before you put the first one even to paper and then putting it out there for everyone to experience. But I mean, what's it, the seventh year this year? Or
yep.
Yeah. So I mean, time flies.
It does. 7 years. It doesn't feel like 7 years. It's kind of crept up on me, and I think even having an annual event in the local metal scene, even though I think our event transcends the local metal scene, but you know what I'm saying about an annual event, just to be able to survive 7 years, I guess is a feat in itself, regardless of the growth of the event or the appeal. So yeah, 7 years. And
we were talking about before about you know, building up that community of people, that loyalty from, like, you know, the Sydney metal scene, but even the Australian metal scene. I mean, you've got people that travel interstate for this fest each year, and you know, you've got people now that will come no matter who plays, because Steel Assassins itself is the experience, and the bands are almost just a complement or a bonus to just getting the opportunity to go to Steel Assassins.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in that. And whilst the bands are still the centerpiece, and nobody wants to go to a festival where the bands aren't any good, it's definitely the main part of the event. But I get what you're saying. As a fan myself, with similar events here and overseas, once you have something built up that's an occasion that is great time, no matter what, you get to see friends from interstate and sometimes overseas, and the whole thing just becomes like a giant party, just an enjoyable occasion. You know, the bands are there to showcase the entertainment side of it, but yeah, it becomes an event that people want to be part of. And many years ago, and I'm not comparing the two, but something like Metal for the Brain, which was an awesome festival in Canberra that's still to this day probably known as the best metal festival Australia has and probably ever will have, was something that I did the trek at least three times to with a minivan full of people from Sydney. And it was just one of those things where you didn't care really at what was going to happen there. You just were like, well, okay, Metal for the Brain, we're going every year, we're going. And then, you know, you would check out the bands.
This yearly pilgrimage, and you'd have no other reason to go to Canberra. Then suddenly Canberra had this fireworks appeal. Canberra's a nice place, I should, you know, for my Canberra listeners. But, you know, I mean, I certainly had that experience. Went to Metal for the Brain a few times, and I did the coaster bus from Sydney on a couple of occasions, and with cartons of beer down the aisles and all sorts of mayhem along the way, and the night before at Rock Ape and all that kind of stuff. But it became bigger than the bands were obviously exciting, and that was a big draw card, but it was the fact that you knew what to expect. It was something that was, it was great memories from the previous years that you'd gone, and so you're looking forward to it as a great time that for some people you'd never see them any other time of the year. That was the one time you got to meet up with these great people that share the same passions that you do with music, in particular bands, and drink a lot of alcohol and rock out and all this great stuff, and it was just fantastic. And I see that with, I mean, I only went for a little bit of time for the last Steel Assassins, but to look around the room and see so many people there, and people that I remember being like seeing at the first one when you were doing it at the Sando, and people that are just there every single year, and they're the people that are, that look to become, they come to the festival in order to make sure that the festival still exists the next year. Like, you know, they feel like they're part of it, it's part of them, and I think that's so cool. And you watch bands from interstate now, these guys who have played Steel Assassins once or twice, and they're talking about coming up themselves, even though they're not playing. Their mates are coming along now, so people are traveling, they want to be a part of it. And I think that's like, that's what you want, isn't it? Like, it's not just about putting on great bands and getting a great turnout, it's creating this regular place and this familiarity where people want to gravitate towards.
Yeah, 100%. Atmosphere is the word that springs to mind. I think anyone who likes to go to a metal gig or a gig in general, you know, you can't beat atmosphere.
Yeah.
And the best atmosphere is a positive one, and one full of energy and noise and just camaraderie as well. I've done a lot of local shows, and lots of people, if you talk to them about just going to gigs on the average Friday, Saturday night, sometimes people will say, if you go to a show and there's 20 people in the room, sometimes it's not a great night out.
Yeah.
You're there to see the bands, fine, and that's great. But we all know the difference between standing in a half-empty room or a mostly empty room and trying to entertain yourself and enjoy the night versus walking into something you know is going to be not just full of people, but full of people who are there for a mutual love of the kind of music that's being played, the catching up with people, like you said. And it seems to be a virus that's spreading, and what's the bands that play seem to enjoy it as much as the punters, and that's really important in my eyes too. Band members do come back to play again, and a lot of them have come back just to see the event when their band's not playing. I've had people come from interstate all the time, and the fact that even last year there were three people that I could think of that came from overseas predominantly for the festival, and you're talking about something that isn't 80,000 strong worldwide named event. This is just something that these people have come to because they've either experienced before or heard about it. And to get one example, to get a guy come from Switzerland predominantly all the way to Australia for this festival blew my mind, and made me a bit nervous, but blew my mind.
I reckon pressure's on, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, now I've got to impress people. But he had a ball, and he's coming back again next year, apparently.
Well, it's probably the benefit of putting on like a metal festival versus any type of other festival is that it's niched already, but especially when a lot of the focus has been around sort of melodic and traditional heavy metal and a lot of old school sort of stuff, is that you've that sort of little niche of fans, that pocket of fans, they're so dedicated, and they're the people that, I mean, we do it. We travel to Germany, like you're doing in a couple of days' time. We travel all over the world to go and see a band that we probably would never get to experience in Australia, or be a part of a festival that we would never have that type of festival in Australia. I mean, from someone in Switzerland that's got Europe at they're in the middle of Europe, but they've got European festivals at their fingertips, to come all the way to Sydney for a metal festival is pretty incredible. Yeah, you're tapping into that segment of people.
Oh, absolutely. And just harping on that a little bit, you're right. When a guy coming from Europe, which is the place that metal just thrives in, the guy that I'm talking about, he pointed out to me that a lot of these bands he would probably never have the chance to see in Europe, even though there's a relative number of bands now that play Steel Assassins that are touring in Europe, but still a hefty part of the lineup are bands that probably won't significantly get overseas and play these bigger festivals. So he was saying that for him, he gets to see a bunch of bands like the flip side of what we would, that he wouldn't see in Europe. And he said that the quality amazed him. And that was one of the best things I think anyone's ever said to me, that the quality of the bands playing in this festival were world class. So that's great.
I think whether you've noticed this or not, but I certainly have. I mean, you put on our first ever show as Lord.
I did.
Back in the day.
Guilty as charged.
The Empire Hotel. Mm-hmm. Some good memories of that venue before it got gutted and... Well, it's not much there anymore. There is a pub, but that's about it.
Yeah.
It's pretty crap. But you've seen the way that sort of traditional metal, melodic metal, all that kind of stuff has been where it's sat in the Australian metal scene, and our scene's been really sort of dominated by a lot of extreme stuff. Some of our greatest bands have been sort of on the harder edge, and there have been some bands that have cut through the noise and have had success, but that whole segment of melodic and traditional and even probably not so much thrash, but even to a degree for a while there, were sort of put to the side. And I think now there are so many more bands that are playing like old school heavy metal, power metal, all this kind of stuff, and not that I would put you on the spot so you can say that, you know, credit to you, but I think that a festival like Steel Assassins highlights that type of music, and I think it's had a direct impact on a lot of younger bands wanting to give it a shot and go, oh man, I love like old school Iron Maiden or Judas Priest or even like, you know, a bit of 80s rock like Dokken and things like that, and let's blend it all together and create our own version of that, because there are avenues now to play where we're accepted. We don't have to fight for an opening spot on a death metal bill or even a black and thrash bill or something like that. There's enough bands out there now where you can actually do this separately.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Again, going back many years before Steel Assassins, when I was still heavily involved in promoting shows in Sydney, as you know, as Metal Evolution, which your Lord played the first show as one of my gigs. There's no secret that I'm a big fan of melodic traditional heavy metal. You know, I have and always will still adore death metal, black metal, the more abrasive stuff as well, but I still put my hand up and admit that I'm a big fan of traditional heavy metal from the moment my child ears first heard Iron Maiden. There's something about that style that I just love. And I've always championed it. And in Sydney, Australia, over certain years, it hasn't been the easiest thing in the world. Earlier years of Metal Evolution, you know, I mixed a lot of genres together, not just because I thought variety was a good thing, but also because you sort of had to for the melodic metal bands. And the idea of something like Steel Assassins bubbled under the surface for a good 3 or 4 years before it happened, because the main bands of the genre in Australia were fewer, but there was definitely these bands that I would put shows on in Sydney, like yourself, like Lord, and previous to Dungeon, Vanishing Point, Black Majesty, a couple of bands like that. There was Transcend Immortality at the time, who were coming through in Sydney, who I loved, and Darker Half, who was starting up a couple of years later. So there were these bands that I really resonated with because I loved the Iron Maiden Judas Priest thing, but it wasn't the most successful or supported style in Australia, and it was like that for a long time, because maybe Australia is a very harsh, abrasive country, just embrace everyone, you know, screaming and growling, and that's just how it is, just whatever. But I always thought that wouldn't it be great to get enough of these bands together at one stage to put on, at my mind back then, maybe like a smaller prog power kind of thing, because that festival was still was happening, and was few people mentioned that, and I thought maybe one day I'd be able to get some of these bands and do like a 6 or 7 band kind of bill. But when I did finally take the jump in 2012, I did jump in head first and did it and went straight for the 2-day thing, and I thought, if I'm going to do this, let's do something that's just going to stick out, that's going to be bold from the beginning, that's going to take melodic metal mixed with, I included thrash and a bit more of the heavier stuff, but I didn't really go anywhere near death metal or black metal. I was like, there's plenty of all-day festivals, East West Grindfest and Evil Invaders that do all these things anyway. So why can't I have one thing that focuses on something that no one else is? And giving it a shot from the beginning, it was just, let's just do this. If it ended up being a one-off thing, then so be it. It'll be fun. I'll say I did it, and here we are 7 years later, and it just seems to be picking up momentum, which is unbelievable.
I just look around at all of the bands that are popping up now, and I was saying to you before, I mean, I'm not going to as many local gigs as I used to, but you know, even some of the bands that you've announced this year for Steel Assassins and the last couple of years, I've gone, who the hell are these bands? And I watched a couple last year, and I just went, my God, like, you know, there was one band, I can't remember the name, you'll be able to tell me, from Tasmania, and they were like
Dracula.
Yeah, and they were like Merciful Fate, King Diamond, Satan, like this, you know, old school new wave of British heavy metal, but mixed with, that sort of, you know, Scandinavian, like King Diamond style stuff. And it was just like, wow, like, where did this come from? And these were young guys. I mean, it was one of their first ever shows, or first ever show on the mainland, from what I understand.
Yeah,
or something.
It was, yeah.
Just, and like, where does this come from? Where are these kids getting this influence from? And so now it's like, and kids, fuck, I'll tell you what, sounding so old.
Old man, Andy. The old man social.
But the old man social, that's it. That's the special edition. But, you know, you see a lot of bands in Melbourne now. There's a lot of young guys playing in awesome bands, and Adelaide's got a few that are popping up now. Brizzy's got a whole bunch, you know, and they're, it's, there's another wave there. There's another wave of bands, and it's cool. And yeah, I mean, you know, death metal's still massive, and even, well, probably not so much grind as much as it was a few years back, but, you know, a lot of the harder edge stuff, and there's still some great black metal bands that are out there, but, man, like, thrash movement's huge, and some of this trad stuff's really, really big, and it's getting great. So, I don't know, I think Steel Assassin's probably helped bring a bit of it to the spotlight.
Well, that's very nice of you to say so, Andy. Well, I wanted to give it a spotlight. That's true. I think that the bands that have happened in the last, say, 5 or 6 years since Steel Assassins has been going is really encouraging. And I think that if my event in any way has inspired anyone who's been there or checked it out to go, oh, you know, maybe I can play in an Iron Maiden sounding band rather than a Cannibal Corpse one. No offense to Cannibal Corpse fans, I do like Cannibal Corpse too. But it's just, you know, probably what I'm getting at here is that there's an event that for fans of the more traditional heavy metal styles can relate to. And there's a massive amount of bands out there now. If you look hard enough, which I certainly do, to try to put on this every year and bring an edition every year that maintains the quality, which I believe is very high, and the variety as far as not using the same bands every year, then you've got to look hard. You've got to listen to people contacting you. You can't be ignorant enough to go, yeah, thanks very much, I'll look at you later and not check out the band, because you never know when a band is just going to blow your mind. And I've looked at a lot of bands, and some bands, they don't do it for me, and some bands just, my head spins around. Like Dracula, when I first heard them, like, I've got to have this band. And I knew that a lot of people wouldn't even know who they are, but when they saw them, they would be amazed. And I think that I've established that level of quality in my in the choices that we put on the festival, that when people come, a lot of them say to me that where they're really excited to see some of these bands that they're not familiar with, because they know that there's going to be one or two of them at least that are going to blow their mind and they're going to become fans of.
Yeah.
And when people come up to you going, oh, you know, my favorite band of the whole weekend was Dracula, but I was here, you know, to see BB Steel or Bengal Tigers or someone that I love, and this band just blew my mind off. It's like unreal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just quickly, whilst honouring the older style bands and where metal came from, it's really important that Steel Assassins also looks towards the future as well. And it's really important to have young bands on. This isn't a reformation festival. I embrace the old school bands and the older bands, but this isn't about just celebrating what has been and remembering it. This is about showing the younger bands are going to keep this music alive for many years going.
You don't want to run out of options, which you'd never do anyway, but you want to make sure that those younger guys who get the opportunity to open up the fest and get a spot, and, you know, the more dedicated segment of people that come to the festival every year get to discover a new band. But they build... Oh, there's Ice House in the background. I got totally distracted then. But anyway, back on track.
Please.
Just heard the oboe. I was like, oh, Ivor. Fuck it, hell. You got, you know, that band gets the opportunity to build a fan base. They get more psyched about what they do. The passion increases, which means that they hang around longer. So their lifespan of a band, and we've seen so many great bands that get together, they put out an album, they start playing shows, and then within a year or so, they just fizzle out for all sorts of reasons. They have crazy expectations. They think, you know, their sense of reality is out the window, or whatever it might be, or interpersonal issues, or whatever it is. But, you know, if you can give them a spot like that early in the piece where they get to show their stuff and connect them with people that are enthusiasts and are diehard and passionate about that style of music, then it just... It helps. It gives that band a boost, you know, and it encourages then other people out there who are watching in the crowd and go, I've kind of got a band with a couple of mates. I haven't really done anything with it yet. And then you watch how great of a time it is, and you go, you know what? Let's pull our finger out of our asses and let's get this band up and running, because I want to play Steel Assassins next year. I want to play Steel Assassins in the next few years. I want to get to a point where we can release an EP so we can then play Steel Assassins is in the equation. That's cool. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I think when we talk about these bands being motivated to want to play Steel Assassins as because it's at a particular level and something they strive for, I think especially for that kind of music, we're talking about something that used to be about international support slots, where that was the platform to get an opportunity that was guaranteed to be a little bit more than your own show or with a couple of bands at the local little pub, because we all know how unpredictable local turnouts can be when you're young, or just any bands in particular, because people like coming to an event, as we said before. So when international band tours, for instance, and young bands go, oh man, if I can get that support, we could actually play to more than 50 people for once and actually get on a bit and get a big production and get proper lights and the attention of what a professional band is. And that's what they strive for. But now, I think, not just Steel Assassins, but because there's a bunch of festivals that are popping up dealing in the same kind of manner with more the melodic side. You've got Legions of Steel in Melbourne, Churches of Steel in Adelaide, and
Stormrider
in Perth. Yeah. Hello, Stu. Hello, Dennis. And hello, Chris. Thanks very much. Mousy, I remember you two in Brisbane. He does Shredfest as well. So there's a whole bunch of festivals now that are built up and have got names like Steel Assassins that give these bands reason to push a bit higher than just the local shows. And I think that's almost replacing the international supports in a lot of ways for these kind of bands, because you've got to remember, outside of like Maiden and Priest, like heavy metal, power metal, we still are suffering from a lot of the bands that tour here in that genre.
Yeah.
So again, if you're in a traditional metal band or a power metal band and you want to try to get on the Metro Theatre stage or the Manibus stage, you're probably trying to apply for supports with thrash bands and melodic death bands, because we still haven't had King Diamond out here. We're still not, we haven't had Angel Witch. We haven't had, Gamma Ray in so many years. It's just you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't come here all the time like a lot of extreme bands do. So I think that maybe the festivals are a good way to help push that style in a professional manner. Because if you go to these events, you'll see that they're not just, a bunch of bands playing on a stage. There's a proper light show. There's just the merchandise, the whole vibe of the place.
That was the other thing I was going to get to, is not only are bands popping up, but there's other festivals in other cities that are starting to pop up now. And they're supporting that segment of metal. There's always, I think that the great thing about sort of melodic metal and traditional metal and all that is that it gives you a bit of breathing space. It can allow you to bring a couple of wild cards in and mix the bill up a little bit. And it gives you a bit of freedom as opposed to the other end of the spectrum where it's very restrictive as far as the variants of styles that are represented. But, to see Dennis, Chris, Stu and Mousy have their own version of a Steel Assassins in their own capital city is incredible. And if you're a young band who's getting started and loves a bit of old school heavy metal and is trying to work out, how the hell do we get shows, or who do we play with? Now it's years ago you'd be scratching your head. Now it's I know all the bands, and there's also a potential festival touring circuit that covers the entire year. And you can base smaller shows off the back of all these things. And these festivals are only going to get bigger as long as they stay consistent and keep going year on year out. But I think it's incredible. One thing, while it's in my head as well, you mentioned about people that come to Steel Assassins each year and make a mention about discovering a band that they didn't know about beforehand, and you giving that band the platform so it can connect, the band connects to new fans, and these guys get to discover new music as well. One thing I saw in the States when we played Prog Power, and I went the year before as a punter, is the level of enthusiasm for music is just, it's out of this world. And when we got announced to play, suddenly it was almost like a prerequisite for anyone that was attending Prog Power that goes every year, that you would go through every single band and you would discover them, and they would do their research and they would learn about every single band, who they are, they'd find the songs. For us, we were really lucky. Suddenly online sales went through the roof. We were selling CDs and shipping them all out to the United States, and digital downloads were going through the roof. But there was this thing that they'd created where every year the people that attended the festival had so much faith in the promoters that they knew that the caliber was going to be of a certain standard, that they knew that they were more than likely going to fall in love with the bands that were going to be on there, even if they didn't know who they were. And they would make the effort in the whatever notice it was, 10 months, 6 months leading up to the actual festival, that they would get to know everything about that band. So when we rocked up, you know, we're meeting people that said, we had no idea who you were, but we listened to your stuff and we loved it. And by the way, we're the ones that bought that CD. Here it is. Can you sign it? Or can we get a photo with you? And it wasn't a case of, which what we thought is, we would have to go there and then we'd have to put on a show to win the crowd over. And we still had to do that to a degree, but we got on stage and people are cheering us already. And I'm looking out, and luckily I went the year before because I could recognise the people I made friends with, and they're all in the front row and they're enjoying it. But it was just such a family orientated thing where they were just so diehard and dedicated to the music that they had that much faith in the promoter that they will do whatever it takes to connect with that band who's going to play the following year. And you see glimpses of that with some of the guys that travel up from Melbourne, or the Sydney guys who come every year, or there's a couple of friends of ours from Canberra that come out as well, and they're diehards, and they'll go through and they'll buy all the CDs, they'll make sure that they'll go and buy all their stuff early and dump it in the car so it doesn't get misplaced later on the night after a few beers. But they, you know, it's an opportunity not only to enjoy the bands that they love, but to also discover all these brand new bands, and so it's cool.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm a fan of heavy metal first and foremost, above everything, above band manager, promoter, podcast interviewer, interviewee. I'm just a fan of heavy metal, and was just one of the main reasons I'm going all the way to Germany next weekend for a metal festival, not just to scope out and to learn. But also as a fan, I plan on watching every single band and buying 100 CDs and just being into it. And I've been like that ever since. And the reason why I got involved in doing anything like what I've been doing is because I love the music so much as a fan that I wanted to help it. And in many ways, being a fan is the best way you can ever help heavy metal. But I am a fan, and what I do, I hope, is appreciated by other fans. And I know it is because I talk to so many of them. I let them know I'm one of them, and I think that's why a lot of the regulars as well, you know, they like it too, because I'm just one of the guys like they are, and I listen to what they say, and I value their opinions. If they say to me, man, like, I love that band, can you put them on again, you know, like, or how about this band? I do. I mean, you can't please everyone.
Yeah,
you've only got a certain amount of bands, a certain amount of time. There's a lot of people who want certain things, and that can be challenging. When you do say you listen to the people that go there, it's, you can't please everyone, because everyone's got a different band they want, and I can't have 600 bands play each year. But I really do, and I think the people I know that at least voice their opinions to me say that they respect and understand my passion for the music, and that I do this for the love of the music. I don't do this for a financial reason or for an egotistical reason. I do this because I would want to watch all these bands myself, and I would want everyone else to enjoy them too. And the amount of positive feedback I get from everyone on most of the bands shows that it's working.
Yeah.
And you're right, when you have bands that people discover too, and bands that come all the way from overseas. You have a band like Widow from the States who came in 2013. Totally unknown. I would challenge more than three people in this country who knew that band before they came here. And everyone that was there that year that came up to me and talked to me mentioned that they were the highlight of that year. And please bring them back sometime. Bring them back here. And then last year they came back, and it was the most amazing thing, because here's this American band that was totally unknown the first time they came here. Just get this roaring reception and everyone excited and wearing Widow t-shirts waiting for them to come on stage for the return. It's like, oh my god, you know, that's so amazing. They are an amazing band, which is what the reason why they got in the first place. But to see that they're showing at the first one made such an impact that when they came back they had the lineup of fans just ready and waiting to embrace that was unreal.
I think it's like, you know, I bought a Widow shirt in that first one and I wore it to the US a couple of years later, and people going, oh, wow, I can't believe you've got a Widow shirt. And I'm like, yeah, they're awesome. And they're like, oh, they played Australia not too long ago. I'm like, yeah. And so suddenly you're connecting with people indirectly that are associated with the fest. And no doubt, like, perception-wise of having a festival that puts on particular types of bands and it's being consecutive year in, year out, that you would have people from overseas that would show interest, you know, whether they be in a band themselves or be a fan or something like that, and talking about it. It's not just convincing the people in Sydney to rock up and experience a festival, or now you're fortunate that you've got people from interstate that travel as well, but you've got people overseas that know about it and are talking about it. And Widow, no doubt, have probably helped a lot of that, with people in the United States seeing that there is this old school heavy metal festival that happens in Australia, and so suddenly for a lot of people that might be something that they may consider in the future.
Yeah, I mean, the underground is very connected, you know, it's especially now more than ever with the internet. Yeah. So news, both good and bad, travels fast, and Steel Assassins definitely has reached a lot of people outside of Australia that haven't even been here, because it's been talked about, it's been shown, and all these, and the people have been there from overseas now, because I've had a couple of bands come from the United States or Europe and New Zealand.
Yep.
And just the good reviews. I mean, we're all connected to social media, and we all see when people talk up something that was a great time, photos, t-shirts, all that kind of business, and it's something that can reach everyone. And I'm incredibly proud when I get emails from people in Europe saying, oh, can I buy a Steel Assassin shirt? I've actually never been to the festival in Australia, but it looked really good. So I'm like, yes, you can, you rule. It's amazing. So, you know, that's just an awesome thing. So knock on wood that the positive stuff happens like that.
I mean, you obviously every year when you go and put the call out to everyone saying, you know, looking for submissions, you know, people contact you and go through that whole process of when you're putting together a lineup. I mean, you've told me this before, like you get approached by some decent bands internationally that may, just out of perception, even just go, this seems to be something that's got hype and we should consider being a part of it.
I get bands every year contact me that I'm a massive fan of, that makes me retreat and curl up into a ball on the corner, start crying just because I got the email. I mean, it's incredible and flattering. But yeah, I mean, perception has to be taken seriously. It's still a very small event, and it's you know, it's growing, but it's growing at a good pace.
Yeah.
I hope one day, you know, I never want to run before I can walk. So I would like to see it keep growing without losing what's made it so special. And if it ever got to that that stage where, you know, some of the larger international bands that we all admire can be part of it, that'd be amazing. But for at the time, it's just right now, it's just amazing that some of these bands that they do express interest, and it's something I'm working on. But it's you know, people would understand that it's an endeavor that's going to take a while to really grow to that potential and be something like that. I mean, I don't want to push this festival somewhere that it shouldn't go.
Yeah.
I think the fans like the way it's growing. I mean, when I get people come up to me at the end of the festival saying, "Don't change what you're doing, it's fantastic." I take that as in that's just a good thing, and change will always happen, but kept to a minimum when needed. And I think just a natural growth is the right way to put it. And I think people would like to see this festival succeed anyway on its own terms, and I want it to succeed on its own terms. So Bruce Dickinson, if you're listening, maybe next year we'll see what we can do.
I mean, I remember talking to you earlier in the piece where we're looking at all the problems in Sydney, or just sort of metal in general. And we've seen a lot of one-off metal festivals that pop up, and different things that are these big, have been promoted as annual events that actually their duration or their expiry date's been 12 months and that's it. So it's a one-off annual event. And I think what you've done, and it's been the main thing. I mean, obviously a lot of the experience and the hard work that you put into making it unique is obviously key, but the consistency of just doing it every single year, and those first few years trying to make sure that you just bring it for the next one, and making sure that you try and beat whatever the turnout was for the previous year, and just trying to make it gradually better each time, you know, because I mean, I slag people off on this podcast, but I'll try not to do it in this one. But, you know, there was...
Come on, Andy. Don't hold back.
But there was somebody quite a few years ago that that put on a fantastic event and turned it into a national tour the year after, and just blew their load, for lack of a better term, and they went too hard too quickly and just they fizzled out. They lost money and just could not recover, and it was a case of getting so, actually there's probably two candidates for that, but anyway, getting so excited.
Only two
that come to mind anyway that we both I gotta shut up. You know, getting so much success out of that first event where it's just, it's incredible, and so surprised and happy about the results of it, and then thinking that the next logical thing is to scale up and scale up dramatically. Like, I'm going to go from 0 to 100, and then realizing that you've gone too far too quickly, and then you lose all your resources, the money, you haven't had any experience trying to win over that or make an event of that size, and so the whole thing dies in its ass. But for you, you've like gradually just incrementally made it bigger and better each year and just made tweaks. And the fact that even you didn't even have to make tweaks, you just put the same event on every year and it would naturally organically grow anyway because it's just consistent.
I'm looking at the pot plant right behind you and I'm thinking exactly that, just pouring a little bit of water on every year. That's definitely true what you're saying. I would never actively knock anyone who puts on a live event, especially an all-day festival kind of thing, because it's a lot of work being put into it, and it's, you know, it's not something that's just easily done. That said, with the modern era and the social media promotion avenues and the easy way you can connect with bands and this and this and that, I think that it's a lot easier for so-called inverted commas fly-by-night promoters to show up and say, hey, I've got a festival. A festival's a word that gets thrown around quite easily. You know, I have more bands than 5 tonight, so it's a festival. And I get that. But, I mean, I was doing Metal Evolution for, like, 7 years before I did my first Steel Assassin, 7 or 8 years. So I knew what it was like to put on 50 shows, you know. I knew what it was like to put on a gig when no one came, several. I knew what it was like to lose money. I knew what it was like to shoot too high and then go, hey, that wasn't right. So that's my history with it, and I wish anyone the best of luck doing it. But you're right. I mean, if you want longevity, then you've got to be a bit careful about what you do. The temptation has always been there, I suppose, to go, hey, next year I'm going to do this. But I think it's just growing it naturally, like you said. In fact, the fans themselves, who are the most important element, they'll be the ones who tell me when it needs to grow. When all of a sudden they're standing in a line outside the Stag saying, we can't come in, book a bigger venue next year, this sucks, then that'll be the reason I grow. You know, or we think it should. But, you know, I take everything seriously every year. Even ticket hikes have been very moderate over the years. I think for what people have gotten, the amount of quality bands overseas in the state, it's been incredibly cheap. I've been too nice to you. But seriously, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, just growing it where it wants to grow. And if it does get really big and it does do the right thing and become that next tier event that I know a lot of people want it to be, then it's got to be done with a bit of dignity and something that the people who made it what it is want to follow it, not just, I don't want it to exclude people.
Yeah. It's that loyalty aspect where, you know, I think, I don't know, I always stereotype metalheads too much. Probably poor metalheads always give them a hard time.
I am the most stereotypical metalhead you could ever meet, so just go for it. It's all good.
So you, I'm going to profile you.
Thank you.
But loyalty is a big thing, you know. You build an allegiance to something, you find a passion and a like-minded connection with, whether it be a band or a song or a group of people or whatever it is, and you're loyal to it, and there's a sense of pride that comes off the back of that. You know, you're part of a tribe or a community or whatever it is, and that's your identity. It's part of who you are, and there's a code of ethics that fall underneath it, where it's like, you know you talk about Manowar and things like that, like staying true. You know, it's true metal. It's you know, not there's nothing fake about it, you know. It's sticking to a core set of beliefs.
Well, I think that's a really important thing you actually mentioned then. In the description for Steel Assassins, I guess on the Facebook page, and it's been inverted a few times, the True Metal Festival, please, elitists out there, don't don't curl up in a ball when I say this, but it's not meant to, a true metal festival in my eyes is not meant to be, hey, you've got to be wearing sheepskin boots and a loincloth to play the festival. That's not what I'm talking about. Although I do love, inverted commas, true heavy metal.
Please, some people rock up wearing that.
Yeah, that would be awesome, please. Half price entry if you wear a loincloth this year. But a true metal in my mind is just, it's heavy metal. It's a festival that it is for metalheads. You know, again, you know, there is debate over events that tease the heavy music faithful into saying, hey, come along, this is a heavy metal festival, this is metal, and it's not really. And I'm not saying that again as in generalizing that specific Manowar kind of thing, but you know, under the umbrella of heavy metal and what it's about, it's Steel Assassins. Although it does stretch its perimeters a little bit, it will always be a heavy metal festival. Yeah. And it's about not just heavy metal and the sounds, but about the attitude, about the fans, about the way it's all put together. So we're not out to bring the mainstream to us. We're about to just make this a bigger and better heavy metal festival every year.
That's it. Make the experience as amazing as possible with the people that you've already got there. I mean, in the end, like, all those shows, I mean, me coming to Sydney and going to my first Metal Evolution shows and going to all these gigs and these regular metal shows, it was all about community, it was about the social aspect, it was about having a good time. And sometimes, yeah, like, some shows you'd rock up to and there'd be, like, no one there, but there was still enough people that it became a great night.
If you've seen also, just to quickly depart to the side here, twice a year we do a thing in the it's not particularly Steel Assassins related, but it is kind of connected, called the Metal Meetup in Sydney. Yep. Twice a year, and that in itself is just an example of the family aspect of the scene. It's a get together twice a year without bands, without any money outlays. It's just like where we are now. If this was the Metal Meetup, then people would just come in and we just drink beer and we talk music and we listen to metal and we just share our love for the scene and we'd make everyone feel welcome. And that might say corny and cliched to the naysayers out there, but I don't really care what they think, because that is the heart of what it's all about, in my opinion. You know, metalheads are outcasts, and together we aren't outcasts. You know, we're family, and I embrace that. So that's an aspect that, regardless of if it was the festival was to grow or shrink, that would never get lost.
Well, I mean, the metal meetup's exactly the same as Steel Assassins. I mean, I went to the first one that you put on, and it was this concept of, let's go to Utopia, go and buy a bunch of metal, and then we'll go to the pub across the road, we'll drink beer, and just talk about what we just bought. And, like, as simple as a concept. And if we can convince someone, twist someone's arm, to hook up an iPod or someone's phone and play some metal through the speaker, then that's like a bonus. And now, I mean, what, you've been doing it for a few years now?
Like four years or something now, because we're 4 or 5 years, because I think we're up to about the 10th one. We do 2 a year, so maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, and that's, it comes off something that's very, it's obviously this genuine, organic thing of what we've all done anyway. I mean, we've done it for years. You just meet up with a couple of mates, go and buy some CDs or some vinyl and go and hang out and drink beer for the rest of the afternoon, and then eventually you stumble to a gig and then lose your CDs. And anyway,
well, that's what the first one was intended to be. Yeah. I was just literally like, hey, what if I just invite half a dozen of my friends and see if they want to just do this nerdish, old school this venture that, I guess when you think about it logically, was a more common occurrence before the internet and definitely before social media, because... Yeah. If you're a heavy metal fan, or a punter, don't shoot me, over the age of 30, you probably remember the days where you would ring up your friends and go, hey, man, let's go to Utopia, let's go and have some beers and let's buy some metal records and talk about it. Because we can't online every night share videos. So you did that. And I was been happy just to get one table full of people. But it turns out that a lot of people kind of share that love of hanging out and doing this kind of thing. And if it gets people away from their laptops for a day too, that's not a bad thing, really. Although there is the dreaded phone, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I see, like, the photos popping up when you do the group shots, and it's the same concept, whether you've intentionally done this or not, but it's the same concept with Steel Assassins, where it's just, like, create something that's regular, and people expect it, they look forward to it, and they make time for it. You know, and it's part of their calendar now. And there's always, from what I can see, there's always a fresh face there. There's somebody new or I think there's even, might have even been the first one or another one that that I was at, and there was like somebody that was online searching for things to do in Sydney, and they weren't from, like, they're from overseas. Like, we ended up with one guy from South Korea who was at the metal meetup, and there's a bunch of us, and we ended up drinking with him that night somewhere in Leichhardt. But the only reason he found out about it was that he was online searching for metal things on Facebook, and he saw the metal meetup, so he just rocked up, didn't know anyone, could barely string a sentence of English together, but I think he had a Motorhead t-shirt on or something like that, and then suddenly we were all best mates, and somehow the language barriers broke through alcohol, and everyone's great friends. But it's cool. Like, it's just this regularity is something that's that people can look forward to, and it
yeah,
grows.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, that's really amazing that that's happened. And I think, to my knowledge, almost every one of the metal meetups has had a couple of new faces, and there's been several from overseas, like you pointed out, that have been backpacking or working here on temporary visas, who have gotten hold of the event and gone, oh, there's a place we can go and hang out as a metal fan, and it's just about meeting other metal people, because that's what you do when you take the live bands away, which is my favourite thing in the world, is to see a live band. Don't take that, get it wrong, but when you're at a gig, how often do you really get a good conversation with someone, because they're either yelling at you over the band or you miss out on the band because you're at the bar having a chat and then you get upset you missed out on your favourite band. So this was about that kind of thing, and to see new people wanting to come on in, like you said, it's like Steel Assassins, but without any, there's no marketing ploy. You know, I encourage anyone from any band or promoter to bring flyers, to chuck around the room. Let's just promote metal, but also just forget about promoting metal, if that makes any sense, and just have a good time. And when you do meet people, when you see people right on the event, I'm from overseas, I don't really know anyone, I'm not sure if I should go to this, and then someone goes, yeah, come along, it'll be fun, and then they come along, and then in the end you see them being hugged by 50 people in drunken photos, and then the next gig that's on, you see them show up with friends, and you go, well, you know, there are a certain amount of metal fans out there who don't go to gigs because they don't know anyone to go with, and that's actually a fact. I mean, I was lucky enough to be, I guess, maybe not brave, but I took the I gave it a shot by going to some gigs when I was younger by myself, because at the time I didn't have any friends that were into metal or could come from my area, and I would just go to a gig and stand in the corner by myself drinking and hoping that someone would say hello to me, or I'd work up the liquid courage to talk to them. And you know, everyone knows the gig's more enjoyable if you've got an atmosphere And people come to the metal meetup, maybe they go, never been to a gig before, wow, look, everyone's really cool, everyone's very friendly here, and then you go, yeah, we all go to gigs and come to a gig, and you walk in the room and all of a sudden people go, hey, and you have enjoyed the show better.
That's it, it's the social thing. And I mean, you've got a reputation of...
Let's not get into my reputation, Andy.
...of accosting people on public transport and on the streets that might have a metal T-shirt on. And you've got... I've certainly seen examples of this over the years where you might have a few flyers on you strategically placed for quick delivery to a random that you might see on a train wearing a Maiden shirt or whatever it might be. But, I mean, you did that with... whether it was consciously or if you can even remember. But when I moved to Sydney... you know, and I was living in Marrickville and hanging out in sort of similar places to you. You were a few streets down from me, and you'd be at the same bars, same gigs and whatever it is. And there was instantly a connection because, like, well, it was as simple as you like the same things that I like. So, you know, we're all sort of a part of this community. And so for me, like, moving down where I knew a few people, but not really, it suddenly you felt like you're just part of this bigger thing. So instantly it sort of felt welcome. So... and then over the years, I laugh every time I see, like, you put up something online about, you know, seeing someone on a train or, you know, someone on the street, and you go up and, like, have a quick chat to them and plug a Metal Evolution show, or you got some flyers or something like that. And I think that's so cool, because it is as simple as that. And it's just connecting with people, and you build that loyalty. And metalheads, as much as we hate to admit it, the music's important and seeing live bands is important, but it's the community aspect that I think's so much more important.
Oh man, absolutely. And you know, there are some, I mean, some metal people are metalheads, are loners. There are people who are a bit I guess more, probably more so in the black metal scene, but there are people who don't particularly, you know, embrace the whole family attitude. But that's cool. At the same time, I respect that as well, man. And like, if I walked up to someone in a metal shirt and said, "Hey, how you doing?" They said, "Fuck off." I'd be like, "Yeah, that's cool as long as I like metal." But you know, when I walk down the street, if I see a dude I've never seen before in a metal shirt, I'll raise the horns, and 9 times out of 10, they'll raise the horns back. Sometimes we'll have a quick chat, and if they ignore me, then that's fine. But for me, it's not about trying to make everyone have a big love fest, but it's also more like the fact that, man, I love metal, and I respect anyone else who loves metal too, and it's not an everyday part of society. It, as much as we think metal's big and metal's popular, it isn't. You know, I challenge you to walk down the main street of Sydney every day and count how many people in metal shirts you see compared to people you don't see.
Yeah.
It isn't as big as we'd like to think it is. Maybe when there's an event, we're all gathered in the same room. So it's cool to kind of project that ideal that, you know, we're metalheads, we don't have to be total strangers. And I try to take it upon myself to be a little bit of an ambassador for metal. I mean, that to sound egotistical, but whether it's approaching a new venue to put a show on, or the Belvedere Hotel, which had the metal meetup, something that's a little bit alien to metal,
yeah.
You know, going in and putting yourself on the line to say, hey, you know, do you want to can you let metal in? Can we be part of this too? Is something that, you know, I take a lot of pride in, because I want metal to be seen. It doesn't have to be accepted, but it should be acknowledged, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Well,
whether the people are any different, by the way. And on just a quick side note to that, the reputation that metal fans have, that I've known from clientele, from hotels and live venues and society, is actually held quite high, and that's another reason why I'm very easily to champion it, because contrary to improper generalization of heavy metal fans, we're not knuckle-dragging, violent thugs. We're actually, more often than
pretty
not, the friendliest people you're going to
the community.
Not so much respectable, but they're nice.
Well,
semi-respectable.
Semi. We've got our moments, but all right, so a couple of days, you're off to Germany, so you got some bags to pack shortly. But before,
I have one bag to pack.
One bag?
That's about it.
Okay, well, I'll let you get to that in a moment. But before we wrap it up, Steel Assassins this year now, I'm going to butcher this even though we're playing it, the 2nd and 3rd? Or the 3rd?
2nd and 3rd of November, third. Yes. Yep. Friday the 2nd of November and Saturday the 3rd of November. 2 days, the most metal experience you'll ever have in Sydney. And tickets will go on sale next month. I haven't got the exact date yet. I'm just finalising details, but it's sort of another cracker event. And if I give it a quick plug, thanks very much again to yourself and Lord and Hobbs Angel of Death for being unbelievable headliners this year. I think this year, honestly, this isn't a sale, but I think this year is amazing. And on a 7-string year run of amazing lineups, I think this year is unbeatable. And those two headliners itself should sell it to you. Lord, Hobbs Angel of Death, be there. Thank you.
You can search for Steel Assassins True Metal Festival on Facebook.
That's us.
That's it. I'll put links up on andysocial.net. And everyone can go and buy tickets when they go on sale and check out the full lineup of all the bands. Everyone's been announced bar one as of the recording. This is going up in a few weeks' time. So do you want to just...
Yes, the last band is Killraiser being added today. So as a brief outline, yes, Lord, Hobbs, Angel of Death. We have Harlot. We have Tormentress from Singapore coming over here playing their first and only Australian show. Stormforge from New Zealand playing their only Australian show. We have Thundersteel reforming back on the thing. We have a lot of good stuff.
It's pretty good.
Yes,
pretty good.
It's pretty good.
All right.
You've got a lot to live up to, Andy. You better start practicing.
The pressure's on.
You'll be right.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the time, Andy. Cheers, man.
Cheers. Thanks, everyone. If you want to reach out to Dave Balfour, you can do so by going to the show notes over at andysocial.net. I will have links to all of Dave's contact details, but also have links to the Steel Assassins Metal Festival, which is being held on the 2nd and 3rd of November 2018 at the Bullface Stag in Leichhardt, Sydney's inner suburb. We will be headlining one of the nights, and Hobbs Angel of Death
the legendary thrash metal band from Melbourne will be headlining the other night. The lineup for this festival on both days is absolutely incredible. Some of Australia's best metal bands and even some international bands will be playing the bill as well. So make sure you go to andysocial.net, click on the show notes for this episode, and I'll have all the details in there. Tickets aren't on sale yet, but they'll be on sale very soon, and I'll update the show notes on that page when tickets do go on sale. So hopefully by the time you're listening to this, the tickets will be up there ready to be grabbed. If you want to come and have a beer with me, definitely do so. I would love to see you guys there supporting Dave, supporting the festival, and supporting Lord as well. Now, it's been a while, but I haven't actually mentioned anything about Lord and given any updates. So considering the theme of this particular episode, Dave, we're talking metal. There'll no doubt be a bunch of metalheads listening to this episode. So here's a bit of a Lord update for you guys. So we are writing the new album. Yes, we've been saying that probably for the last 3 years, but we actually have pretty much a full album demoed. So it's pretty exciting. Like, we can actually see and hear what this album is going to sound like. And we're still in the demo stage, and there's still a long way to go, and these songs will no doubt take on a whole range of different changes and adjustments and all sorts of things along the way. But wow. Of course, I'm going to be biased when I say it, but these songs are shaping up to be absolutely incredible. And all I can say is that if you enjoyed Set in Stone, you enjoyed Digitalize, and hell, even Ascendance, I think you will not be disappointed with this album. I think we kick it up a notch, but I think it's also very much sticking true to what we know and what we're really good at. And there's certainly some new stuff on there. I think there's going to be stuff on there that people are going to be pleasantly surprised with. But we are not dialing this one in, guys. We are coming back with a real punch, and I'm really, really excited with what the songs sound like so far. If you want a real slight snippet, a little teaser, Tim posted some teaser, like a 30-second grab of a bunch of little sections of some of the demo songs over at the Dominus Records Facebook and Instagram pages. So you can go and check that out. So just search Dominus, D-O-M-I-N-U-S Records on Facebook, and you'll be able to see a video there that he posted a couple of weeks ago now. And it's got some very early stage demos, but it might just give you a little bit of a taste of some of the stuff that we're working on. But wow, I heard a new demo this afternoon. I feel like telling you guys what it is, what it's called, but maybe, no, I won't. I'll leave it for now. But it's, man, I think there's a bit of Priest going on in this one. So I think we've all been inspired by the brand new Priest album. So there's a little bit of that in there, but wow, really, really cool. So so the album, I think, will be due out later this year. We don't have a sort of a time frame at this point in time, but now that the album is pretty much shaped, it's molded, we know what we're working with. We know what it's more or less going to look like and what it's going to sound like. The next stages will be lining everyone up and getting people into the studio and starting to record this thing. And then we might shop it around. Who knows? We've been really proud of doing it DIY and doing it independent and doing our own distribution and everything for quite a number of years. And we've done really, really well at doing that. But we might see if we can hook up with somebody and do a really good distro deal. We'll see how we go. But lots of stuff coming in the pipeline. We're coming back with a real punch, so I'm looking forward to showing you guys what's coming up in the coming months. So lots of exciting stuff there. So hopefully you guys are excited and looking forward to supporting that. And actually, what I might do getting closer is I'm thinking about doing some specialized podcast episodes around the new album, and just seeing if I can get some of you guys to jump on board and be a part of this. I'm not sure how it's going to work. I've got a few ideas, but we'll play it by ear. So, enough of that. I think that's about it. So I filled up my car. So if you're listening to the beginning of this episode, I stopped the intro to go and fill up my car and introduce Dave. And now I've filled up the car and I'm almost home. And that's really, really interesting stuff for all of you guys. So I will wrap it up right now. If you want to support the podcast, there's a whole range of ways to do so. You can just leave a review somewhere. You can tag a mate. You can share these things around. You can love, like, retweet, all that sort of stuff. You can subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast player. You can recommend the podcast to people. You can buy an Andy Social t-shirt from the Bandcamp merchandise page, which you can find over at andysocial.net. You can shout me a beer via the paypal.me button on the andysocial.net page. You can do all sorts of things. If you want to become a sponsor of the podcast, please let me know. The audience is growing each and every week, so there's a very good audience here to take advantage of, and I'd love to be able to support some of you guys that are doing amazing things, and hopefully all of you guys as listeners can take advantage of some of these sponsors that come in the weeks and months and hopefully years to come as well. But anyway, enough of me. Thank you very much. Another week in the bag. More and more coming. So looking forward to showing you guys what's coming up. All right, guys. Take care. Ta-ta. You're ready. You're ready social. You're ready.